You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In the years since their debut in June 2009, the Common Core state standards have been adopted by 43 states, 4 territories, and the District of Columbia. Their goal is to, quote, ensure that all students graduate from high school with the skills and knowledge necessary to succeed in college, career, and life, regardless of where they live. But the standards have drawn criticism from some educators, parents, and politicians. And in an article headlined Common Core, in nine-year-old eyes, New York Times reporter Javier C. Hernandez follows Crispin, a struggling fourth grader at Brooklyn's PS 397, and the efforts of Tricia Matthew, his teacher, during the first year the standards were implemented in New York. The article appeared in the June 15th edition of the Sunday New York Times. I'm very pleased that it has brought Javier C. Hernandez and Tricia Matthew to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Javier, New York was one of the first states to adopt the Common Core standards in 2010, but it didn't start implementing them until the 2013 school year. Why did it take 3 years?
Well, this was really a sea change for New York City schools, and in order to do it right, education officials said they wanted some time to first get some curriculum in place that were aligned in math and reading with the Common Core, and also to give schools some space to train teachers in the new methods.
So did you have to learn about this over 3 years, Tricia?
Yes. It took a long time because the standards, it's a big difference from what we were doing before.
How is the Common Core different from how or what educators in New York were teaching previously? Can you give us an example?
Sure. Well, I would say it's more of a philosophical difference and a way of defining teaching. And so I would say previously, teachers often felt that they had to rush through many topics over the course of the year, and quantity was emphasized over quality. Now, in New York City schools, there's more time with fewer topics, and they cover each topic in greater depth.
But in the end, trying to cover the same amount of material?
Yes, but trying to cover it more and trying to go deeper. Before, we were looking more literally, and now we are asking the kids to really think deeply about what they're doing.
Does it require different teaching methods on your part?
Absolutely. Everything from reading, we had to change everything that we were doing before.
How long have you been teaching at PS 397?
10 years.
What did you think when you first heard about the initiatives of the Common Core?
I thought, okay, here comes something new.
Javier writes that you saw it as your patriotic duty to make it work.
Because I'm a great, I think my job is to make my children that I'm given succeed. And whatever I'm given, I'm going to actually do the best I can. However, I actually like the Common Core because I think it's actually helping our kids to think deeper.
Now, I've been reading responses to the article in the New York Times. Some teachers seem to think it's great. Others don't like it at all. I'm assuming this came up for conversation when the teachers got together.
Yes. I don't...
What was the consensus in the faculty room?
A lot of us still... It's still split. Most of us believe in it, and this is what we're going to do. But I think a lot of teachers felt that they still need a lot more training on it.
I remember sitting in Ms. Matthews' room at lunchtime and overhearing a conversation of some of your fellow teachers, and I was struck. One teacher who was actually pretty young said, "Oh, the Common Core is just a fad. It's going to be gone in a couple of years. We've been through this before." And then a veteran teacher who was right next to Ms. Matthews' room jumped in and said, "No, this is actually good for us. This shows us what we need to be teaching every single week. Every single month, what sort of skills are expected of the students by the time they get to the end of the year, and it brings more accountability." And so they went on and back and forth and back and forth, and that just showed to me that, you know, a lot of times we portray teachers as having one opinion or another, and some people out there assume that teachers who have been around in the system forever don't appreciate this new shift. And I was struck just by the fact that there were actually older teachers, but more experienced teachers who actually really embraced the standards, and younger teachers who actually thought it wasn't a good thing.
Perhaps because the older teachers have been frustrated by some of the problems they've faced over the years, where younger teachers have just come out of school, and they know what they're supposed to do because that's what they were taught in their ed classes. You're laughing, Tricia. Have I hit upon something here?
No, I'm just laughing because it's a yes and no thing. I think there are some older teachers at my school who probably does share that opinion, but most of the older teachers in my school actually they don't feel that way at all. But like Javier is saying, when we do sit down, there is that back and forth with, you know, the idea, well, this is a great thing. We are moving in the right direction, but it's not perfect. There's a lot of work for us to do.
Javier, why did you choose to focus on Crispin Alcindor, the fourth grader that you profile in your article?
Well, it was a long process, and I called up about 15 schools, I would say, before I found PS 397, asking to do a sort of in-depth study of the Common Core and what it looks like and how it's changing teaching and learning.
Does PS 397, is it all that similar to the other schools in the area?
It is. I'd say it sort of represents an average New York City school, especially in this particular corner of Brooklyn, that was struggling with the standards.
It's near Kings County Hospital.
Yes, it's close to.
But when I reached out to all these principals, most either hung up the phone or quickly said they were too busy or didn't have time. And so I came across Nancy Colon at PS 397, and she was actually eager to have somebody come into her school. She was very proud of the work they were doing. And so I showed up one day, and she showed me quickly to Ms. Matthews' classroom and to another teacher's classroom. And I was drawn to Ms. Matthews' room initially just because I saw in her sort of this determination to get her kids on board with the standards. And it really seemed like a lively kind of place. At times, she reminded me almost of a lawyer on cross-examination, kind of asking her kids to show evidence to defend their work and their ideas. And so I ended up spending most of my time in her classroom. And then the question became, how do I tell this story? Is it through the eyes of Ms. Matthew, a teacher, and how she's grappling with the Common Core? Or is it through the eyes of a student? And over time, it just really hit me that the students were really the ones who were bearing the brunt of these new standards. And for many of them, it was confusing. They still were trying to come to grips with what it all meant. And so when I tried to find a student, I was immediately struck by the fact that PS 397 had triplets in the fourth grade. And some of them were doing great on the standards and the others weren't. And so,
well, they weren't identical triplets.
Right. Yeah. But I was really, really attracted to that story of triplets struggling with the Common Core. And then Crispin happened to be the triplet who was in Ms. Matthews' class. And that's how I found him.
I'm talking with Javier C. Hernandez, who wrote an article called Common Core in 9-Year-Old Eyes. That was in the New York Times recently, and Tricia Matthew, the teacher of that 9-year-old. What is the community like? Is it a mixed community?
It's predominantly Caribbean.
Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Because that area, especially Haitians, have settled into it quite a while ago.
Yes, there's
That's
a lot
near
of,
Wingate High School?
Yes, there's a lot of Haitians, there's a lot of Jamaicans, a lot of Grenadians, as where I am from. Originally from Grenada. There are a lot of African-American, but mostly from the Caribbean islands.
What kind of student is Crispin?
Crispin is close to the bottom of my class, but he was not always at the bottom of my class. Him, actually, before, in the third and the second grade, Crispin actually was a really strong student. One of my friends, my colleague who taught him, it was just strange to me when I was speaking to her about, you know, my kids and how they're doing. And she expressed to me how he was really, really strong. And I said, what do you mean? That's not a child that I see. And I start, you know, actually going back and looking at, well, why is he doing so different all of a sudden? What has happened to him?
Well, is that all that uncommon with a kid who might have been really great at 6 or 7, mm-hmm. but now is 9 and has different interests?
Possibly. Sometimes that happens. But, I mean, I was just struck by it. Such, to me, it was drastic. And I wanted to know what happened there.
Was he struggling because of the Common Core?
I think he was struggling because a lot with the standards, because it was asking him to think deeper, and he was a literal thinker. And that was a big deal.
Now, I remember when there was a big debate over how IQ tests were worded. Mm-hmm. The same question could have been worded differently and had a very different kind of response from kids who grew up in minorities or in rural areas. Is the same problem occurring here with Common Core? Is it, to some degree, the way the questions are being asked or the kinds of questions that are being asked that can confuse some kids?
I think educators would say, in the purest form, the Common Core is really about a set of skills that by and large, people would agree that any student should be capable of reaching. But I'm sure there are those out there who say the tests that are aligned to the Common Core, which is a whole different thing, might especially be difficult for certain students. And we did do an analysis, the Times did, of schools in the New York City region and how they did on New York City Common Core exams. And it showed that even though all schools plummeted in their test scores, those with large numbers of struggling students, especially blacks and Hispanics, actually fell even farther.
One of the examples I saw was something like, how many wheels are there on 6 automobiles? Which is another way of asking, what is 4 times 6? But by asking that question, you're assuming that the kid is going to be able to think about cars and how many wheels are on a car and then do the multiplication. And that will confuse some kids and also engage other kids.
Yes. What we're asking is not – we want kids – yes, there are kids who are going to think literally, and yes, the questions are different. However, we're trying to push that they don't stop at that literal level, but they go beyond the text and go beyond what's just on the paper. 4 times 6 is 24. We know that. We get it. But it's not always going to be presented to you that way, so you need to find different ways of thinking about things.
And that's what this is doing. It's saying in real life you may very well have to work out a problem like that.
Yeah, you have to think about things differently.
So why do some people think that that's bad?
I don't think people are thinking that a Common Core itself is bad. I think the rollout of the Common Core has a lot of people up in the air because of the way it was rolled out. I think a lot of teachers felt that they were not adequately prepared and still not adequately prepared for it.
How did Crispin's mother respond to his struggles at school?
Actually, at first, she was not aware that he was struggling that much. The first report card came up, and when I met with her and I gave her the report card, she was shocked, and she wanted him out of my class. She couldn't believe that.
She was blaming you because the other two triplets are doing well?
Well, actually, the other boy's not doing as well, but the girl, she's the one that's excelling. Mm. So she couldn't, and she was aware that the other boy was not doing so well. But for Crispin, she thought, no, he's doing perfectly fine. So when I had to explain to her that he wasn't doing so well and he wasn't doing his homework, she was like, what do you mean? No, he does all of that. So she was shocked at first, but took action after that.
Right, and she quickly discovered that Crispin had been playing video games instead of doing homework, and that really motivated her, and I think with Ms. Matthews' counsel, she decided that she was going to end video games, pull the plug, until Crispin and his brother Christopher were both able to pass these state exams.
Don't some parents find it difficult to help their children with their homework, especially immigrant parents who are often working a couple of jobs or for whom English is a second language?
Definitely, and this was a prime example of that. Crispin's mother was basically running the household by herself. The father lived elsewhere. And she herself was balancing several jobs. I mean, she had to have other people, relatives, come and pick him up and drop him off at school. She was often working late into the evening. And when they brought their homework home, she would look it over, but there was really nothing, especially in English, that she could contribute on.
On the other hand, comedians like Louis C.K. have joked that their children's math homework is too complicated for them.
Right. It's a new way of doing math, and especially with drawing models and explaining things in different ways, some would say in too many ways. It's provided some comedic material, I think, in some communities.
We're talking with Javier C. Hernandez and Tricia Matthew about Common Core. Javier wrote an article called Common Core in 9-Year-Old Eyes that appeared in the Sunday New York Times on June 15th. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. My guests are Javier C. Hernandez of the New York Times. His article, Common Core in Nine-Year-Old Eyes, appeared in the Sunday New York Times on June 15th. And also with us is Tricia Matthew, the teacher of the class that he wrote about. And we invite your calls here, by the way, in case you have had personal experience with Common Core as a teacher or as a parent, the number 212, or as a student for that matter, 212-433-9692 is the number that you can call in at, or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Tricia, some of the Common Core critics say its demands are too rigorous for students. In a letter to the editor after the piece, Javier's piece, appeared, a teacher wrote that she felt bad for Crispin because he's being, quote, undermined by unrealistic expectations.
When Javier was in my class and we sat down many times and we discussed Crispin, I always said to him that lowering the standards to me doesn't make any sense. If we decide, okay, we lower the standards so that everyone does well, does that make us all feel better about ourselves? Because now everyone is able to, it's lowered so that everyone is able to pass. I don't think that's sensible. To me, that doesn't make any sense. So to me, we have to reach each child where they are and try to make it rigor for them. So everyone is not going to be on the same page. I don't think Crispin, and I explained that to Javier, is ever going to be at the top. I didn't expect him to be at the top of my class at the end of the year, but I expect him to be at his best.
It could be seen as slightly insulting to say somebody is being asked, being undermined by unrealistic expectations when we're talking about multiplication. Although a listener on Twitter says Common Core asks kids to solve multiplication word problems without having been taught the times tables.
That's
not true?
Wow, that is absolutely not true. That's absolutely absurd.
Do you start off with the times tables
of
as they did when I went to school?
Tables. The basics are still there. We expect kids to know how to multiply.
You ask your students to write a self-portrait poem, and Crispin's begins, "I am a 9-year-old who struggles with math." What did you think when you read that?
I knew. I mean, it was his self-portrait. He was telling me about himself, but I already knew that. So,
yeah, but this
I
is
smiled.
Also it also reveals something
also
about his sense of
about
self-esteem.
His, yes, and self-esteem, and actually, he's very aware of himself. If you walk into my classroom, he's very low-key, very quiet young man. But when you do call him one-on-one and you actually read his work, you realize, he's very aware of what's actually going on. He's not just pretty much just floating by. He's actually not floating by. He's very aware of what he's weak and where his strengths are.
Javier, your article contains a graph that shows that although almost all New York City schools saw their passing rates drop, those already struggling before the Common Core dropped by about 66%, while higher-performing schools dropped just 16%. What do you think is the cause for such a huge difference?
I think a lot of schools have, especially in certain neighborhoods in New York, sort of saw the Common Core coming for some time and rearranged their teaching and their curriculum around that. For a lot of schools that were already struggling to even get people onto grade level, I think the Common Core was a bit of a surprise, and it took a lot of them several years, or it will take them several years, before they can also kind of retool things around those deeper set of analytical skills. And the exams, New York was really out there at the front of things saying, we want Common Core exams. We want those immediately. We're not going to wait 5 years to kind of slowly phase them in. And so everyone was suddenly, 1 year expected to perform at these very high levels. And I think at a lot of schools that was just too much.
Let's take a call. This is from Vicki. Hi, Vicki. You're on the air.
Hi. I recently helped a kindergarten student who's gifted and talented from a highly literate family. He's my neighbor. And I helped him with his homework. He had 5 to 10 spelling words that he had to put in a sentence. Now, kindergarten no longer spends the year concentrating on things like handwriting, and first grade used to be dedicated to spelling. This is a gifted and talented child. I can only imagine a child who comes from a non-literate family or that speaks another language who's never going to get that handwriting. And you can't say the answer is to push that down into nursery school because they're not developmentally ready to have that kind of handwriting. So kids are being asked to skip cognitive and developmental steps, sit in desks all day in kindergarten doing worksheets or coming home with 11 pages of homework on holiday weekends. That was my personal experience. And no matter what the Common Core says in its standards, what is playing out in the schools is that everything is getting pushed down a year or two earlier. And again, they're being asked to skip cognitive and developmental steps.
Thank you for calling. You want to respond to that, Javier?
Sure. I mean, I think it plays out differently at each school, but I do think a lot of skills that were reserved for higher grades are now being taught earlier. I saw that in Ms. Matthews' classroom, and for a lot of students, that's a big struggle.
Wasn't Head Start supposed to take care of some of those problems, get kids prepared earlier?
Sure, but a lot of curriculum in those really early grades hasn't been aligned yet with the Common Core.
How does the Common Core relate to the No Child Left Behind Act, which mandates all students to test proficient or above in reading and math by 2014 this year?
In some ways, it's a reaction to the No Child Left Behind Act. The standards came out of a desire among educators to make sure that each state was at a similar high bar. And No Child Left Behind, when it was implemented, resulted in a lot of schools lowering their standards so that they could meet federal guidelines and federal standards. And so a lot of people accused states of dumbing down. And so the Common Core, in many ways, after this group of educators looked and others looked at what was happening with performance nationwide, there was a huge concern that we were slipping internationally and that our standards had fallen.
Seven states have not adopted the Common Core, including Texas and Virginia, and Indiana became the first state to abandon the Common Core after originally adopting it. What are the reasons being given?
There's a variety of reasons. Some of it is pushback by conservatives in some states, those who believe that the Common Core represents an intrusion into local control of education, and they've derided it as a Obama Core. And in other places, it's the anti-testing crowd and people who are upset that the Common Core has been tied into exams, into high-stakes exams, and they don't feel like their kids should be held to that standard.
So this is one of those things that's kind of united liberals and conservatives.
Right. And in many states, that's led to lawmakers feeling pressure to totally abandon the effort.
What about the parents you talk with, Tricia?
Some of the parents that I speak to, when we have meetings, they're worried. I mean, I have some parents who, oh my goodness gracious, how do I get my kids there? But like Javi was saying earlier, there are so many kids, so many parents who, in my neighborhood especially, who are not even aware as to what actually is going on. And I think that actually ended up hurting so many of our kids because there's not a lot of parental involvement with those children. You know, going home, there's no one there to actually help them with their homework. But parents that I've, you know, spoken to and who are aware of Common Core, they're like, oh my goodness, what can you give me to actually help my kids do better?
In the case of Crispin, his mother works at a full-time job. She's actually asked his sister, Holika, to help him. I don't know whether many triplets would be all that happy having their sister helping them with their schoolwork, as though they're the dumb one, and Sis, who was born the same time, is a lot smarter.
She takes it in strides, and she takes it upon herself, and you know, she's pretty much in charge of making sure they're on task. And sometimes it's frustrating because you know she's like, you know, they don't listen, you know, but she's the stronger one. And I know for me, that's what I had to do in my family. Then there was no Common Core when I was in school, but it was your older sister, so you need to make certain that the younger brothers are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Earlier complaints used to be that teachers were forced to teach to the test. Have you found yourself doing that in the past?
No. My principal, Nancy Colon, is very much against teaching to the test. She says that good teaching is good teaching. If we teach the students what they need to know, then when the test comes by, they are going to know what they need to know. so I don't find myself having to teach to the test.
How does Common Core compare to what we see in other parts of the world? In many countries, students are pretty much taught by rote, aren't they?
It's
this
true.
Is the opposite of rote.
Right. That's definitely true, although I would say the Common Core's emphasis on introducing some skills earlier is something that's being done in places like China, Finland, some of these really high-performing school systems.
We recently talked about learning a foreign language, and the best time to learn it is when you're relatively young, but we don't start teaching languages until junior high school. And there are a couple of schools that have programs where they're teaching foreign languages. That would work rather well in your school, wouldn't it, Tricia? Because a lot of the kids come in with a knowledge of French or another language.
Yes, if we have the funding for it, yes.
And certainly the chancellor of the school system in New York, Carmen Farina, has mentioned this as some area that she'd like to expand these immersion programs.
Chris is calling in from Los Angeles. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
We're well. You were a teacher in New York once before you moved to sunny L.A.?
I just moved. I was just I was a teacher. I was a public school teacher for 10 years, and then after that worked as a consultant for an organization, a nonprofit. We opened public schools in New York City. And so the bulk of my job in the last few years has been to work with teachers one-on-one to help them to implement the Common Core in their classrooms. I missed part of the show. Sorry, I'm feeding my baby while trying to still catch up on what I miss in New York. I'm actually a strong supporter of it, and I saw my teachers who struggled so much, like social studies teachers who were so frustrated because they thought that the content had to get lost while teaching skills. But in my opinion, and I worked in schools in East New York, up in the Bronx, all over the city really was my, as when I worked as a consultant. So often very low performing schools. And what I noticed is that teachers really, when I had the opportunity to work closely with them, they saw that this shift to teaching skills, really, their students were much more productive. You know, like social studies teachers couldn't wrap their brain around this idea that they can teach writing at the same time as teaching content, that you can use those things. And I think, for all of the backlash that the Common Core is getting, I just believe there are rigorous set of standards that we want to ask our students to be, literate. We want to ask our students to be analytical. We want to ask our students. So I feel like there's been a lot of backlash that comes from so many places without seeing that it actually can happen. It just maybe we need more time than what we were expected to turn around.
We'll see how you feel when your kid winds up going into school. Sam from Harlem, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling to say that I'm in favor of the Common Core learning standards because of the fact that they are based on increasing literacy, which is reading, writing, speaking, listening, and thinking critically, which is what students have to do on the standardized tests.
So, Sam, you were a principal?
Yes, I was a principal in the same district as 397, and we improved the scores on the standardized tests in the school where I was based on this principle of increasing literacy. And it's going to take a while for the teachers to be trained properly because in order for this to work, everyone has to teach reading and writing and speaking and listening and also to model those properties for their children. So it's going to take a while for that to happen, but the Common Core Learning Standards represents an opportunity to close the achievement gap for the students of color that exists now. And that's one of the reasons that I'm particularly excited about its use in the schools.
So why do you think there are so many people opposed to it?
Well, because it calls for something different. And, people are opposed to change, based on in general. And so for some people, the first reaction is, well, I'm against this because this is something new. And, with some coming down the line that we have to adjust to. But as has been said, the teachers who have been trained well, who have gotten the resources, they are finding themselves in favor of the Common Core standards because they can see the benefit of having the standards in their classrooms.
Thank you so much for your call. I'm going to sneak one more caller in. Noelle from Allendale, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Okay.
We are in the same boat. I mean, out here, I have to be honest. I live in an affluent community, so you know we have great schools. I feel I'm not against it. I mean, I have to see it out first. The problem I see is we've lost creativity in teaching in the schools. My children come home, and they don't know about, they're not being taught poetry because there's no time for that anymore. They're not being taught mythology. They're not being taught about world religions. We're losing, I think, something about creativity in teaching.
Well, let's ask the teacher here. Maybe this is a problem that you should talk to Chris Christie about, but we're talking about New York school right now. Is the situation the same in Brooklyn, Tricia?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm shaking my head the entire time you're speaking because actually that's everything I teach. Greek mythology, poetry. We spend, 6 weeks on poetry. We spent 2 months on Greek mythology. We wrote our own myths. We read. We are doing all of these things.
Now, is that just part of the curriculum or because you teach those things?
No, that is part of our curriculum.
It's important to know that PS 397 looked elsewhere outside of New York City for its curriculum. It looked to a program in Kentucky, which is one of the first states to adopt the standards. And they've tried to preserve some of the emphasis on poetry, fairy tales, mythology, that kind of thing.
What happened to Crispin?
As far as...
Has he been left back? Has he improved?
No, he has not. He has improved, and he is going on to the fifth grade.
Thank you so much for being on our show. We've been speaking with Tricia Matthew, the teacher I wish I had had in the fifth grade. She is featured in Javier C. Hernandez's article, Common Core in Nine-Year-Old Eyes. It was in the June 15th issue of the New York Times. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.